there's a simple version of it where you talk about enabling this ubiquitous meeting anywhere, convenient, in other words, easy and on demand, that whenever you decide you want it, to the shared pool of configurable resources, be that storage or compute power or applications and services. And the key element is that you can rapidly provision it and obtain it and with minimal effort. So in a sense, it's that access to very powerful amount of resources swiftly through the internet, and being able to use that at a level and a load which is suitable to your problem. If you don't need excess capacity, you're only paying for what you use.
The idea is very, very scalable. So if you can deal with large influxes of folks, or if you so you can adjust to that very easily, also very agile.
Oh yes, I think you've hit on two key elements. The sharing of these pooled resources, you're really sharing a bunch of workloads from various people who do not need the same amount. So you get that very powerful economic driver of this pool of resources. And you're using what you need, so that's clearly more efficient in terms of the resources consumed. And that cost advantage can be given back to the consumer. And the other big advantage that people have with it is that ability to innovate by taking a lot of these housekeeping kinds of functions and performing that in the cloud and turning one's attention to perhaps more value-added, more mission-centric kinds of applications that every organization needs to perform.
It's almost impossible to go 3 minutes without talking about security and privacy in cloud computing, and that's what the second document focuses on. Walk us through that.
We make some, I think one of the key points I want to make is that this particular one is more at the public cloud computing. But in saying that, we're not sort of giving preference over one or the other. We'll work our way through the various models, whether it be public, private, community, or hybrid. This first one out was on public cloud computing, and we give some we think this hope is good advice. We say carefully plan the security and privacy aspects, so know what your goals and needs are for security. Understand that that answer for that comes from you, not from the cloud vendor. So You know what your requirements are. Make sure you secure the client side of things. People tend to neglect the idea that you're accessing that internet through your browser. And having access to that network and protecting that client side is really important. And of course, you still remain responsible for those things about the privacy and security of data, even if it's in somebody else's environment. Can't outsource that function.
Lee, one of the other aspects that you talk about in here is understanding that this is something that is offered, and that you do have to, security and privacy have to be something that you talk about a lot.
Because you're processing doing your processing work or storing your data and someone else's infrastructure does not relieve you from the need to retain responsibility for its proper protection.
How does one go and do that in an effective way? You talk about maintaining accountability over privacy and security, that essentially this is something that has to be pretty much key to your mission. How does one go about doing that and ensuring that this is done in an effective way?
I think that your primary mechanism, well, one is being well-informed about what your needs are and their capabilities. Two is using the levers that are available to you, and the primary way is through the contract that you use and the service level agreements that are defined in there. And those that do that well and with due care for their security and privacy needs, we're going to do better than those that don't do that sort of thing.
I mean, taking a careful look at the SLA is really key. And there are basically two kinds of SLAs. One kind is the commonly posted and distributed SLA, where it's essentially something you can accept or not accept. And another is one where you negotiate, you know, the details yourself with the cloud provider. And so if you look at the proffered SLA and that satisfies you, and it may well for low impact data, then that's good. Otherwise, you really do have to scrutinize the details and make sure that the terminology that's getting used in the SLA means what you think it would mean. before you read the thing.
One of the key issues that you look at is something called incident response. And almost what you advise is, guess what? You have to think about things may get out. There's going to be a problem. There's problems with systems that we own, for goodness sakes. So this is probably going to happen. How do you deal with that? How does that get reported? How does that get dealt with? You almost have to think about that stuff in advance.
You made a good point when you said that we don't have exactly tidy solutions to things like incident response, even when we own all the resources and they're on our sites and we have all the control we can.
Yeah.
In an outsourced situation, you know, somebody still has the ability to apply appropriate controls, but there has to be good communication between, you know, the customer who knows what the real requirements are for their data and processing, and the folks on the other side that are actually applying the protection mechanisms on the behalf of the customer.
Tim, who are these publications directed at? Who do you hope reads them, and how do you hope that they use them?
We obviously primarily write them for the federal audience, but they have a wide readership in both the public and private sectors around the world. So we hope that both vendors and consumers of cloud services will read that.
It's mostly for a techie audience. Are these CIOs, chief information security officers in industry that are reading this, or should program folks at least scan this and offer some their insights?
I would say yes to both. It's obviously geared primarily to the IT professionals and technical people there. But we encourage people who want to use this both for the cost efficiencies or the innovation potential to become familiar with the issues and understand what it takes to make this, again, these difficult business case decisions.
And both of these are open for comment?
Yes, sir. They are available for public comment on the NIST NIST website, and we encourage people to give us their thoughts and comments. We pay close attention to that feedback.
And is this an open comment period? How long does this go on, or is it just sort of an ongoing process?
It goes on till the 28th of February, so we encourage people to get those in before that so we can deal with those comments and address them.
These are draft versions right now. Well, I guess the definition is more locked in, but is still in draft.
It's still in draft, and we encourage comments on that as well.
And we'll have a link to all of it so people can find it nice and easy, and how people can actually comment. We'll have all that posted on DoraBeckInsider.com so people can find it nice and easy. But when people give these comments, what kinds of things are you looking for from folks?
We always are eager, especially to get technical comments and suggestions on issues that should be addressed that are not addressed or things that should be said more clearly. We always are eager to get serious technical comment on the things that we're saying there. So, but of course we're happy to take any comment that people want to make.
I know that there's also a wiki that goes along with this whole platform. Talk a little bit about that because it's a fascinating project.
Well, we have three, you know, upper level goals for what we're trying to do to address portability, interoperability, and security. And to address any of these issues, we need a robust collaboration with the public and private sectors. And the Twiki is designed to address those questions. It has a series of areas, you know, such as architecture and use cases and other areas up on the website that we encourage people to participate. You can enroll and get emails from us and have periodic communications with us on calls that we make, and we encourage that very robust public and private collaboration.
And again, this is both for folks in public and private sector.
Absolutely, both
industry as well.
You know, we're all consumers in some sense using this, and so it's best that we need both of those parties playing with us to get good collaboration and feedback.